Stand by. Ready to go. Stalls are back and racing.
Just waiting for them to steady. Racing on this occasion.
All set. And they're racing.
Lights are on. They're ready to go. They're racing now, and they came out as one.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to Punters Postmortem, your complete weekend racing wrap. Brought to you by tab.com.au. How's your form? Here's TK, Dino and the Duff.
Great to have your company on this edition of Punters Postmortem. You can sniff it, can't you? Have a really good smell. Autumn's not very far away with the racing on the weekend. There's no one else in this studio.
You're talking about me?
No, Tanya.
Thank you.
I'm certainly. It's the first bit of perfume I've smelt this morning. You smell beautiful. We will get to the scratchings with Tanya in a few moments' time. But, yeah, a sniff of autumn on the weekend. We've got a brand-new Golden Slipper favourite in Vancouver. Gay Waterhouse says the most exciting colt she's trained since Piero. So the rhetoric is out there already as far as the juvenile is concerned. Unfortunately, Outreach was a big plunge. It failed, and Outreach has come up with a fractured pelvis, which is some terrible news to come out of the weekend. And John O'Shea, pretty hard to please, I reckon. Expected more of Sarajevo, which was still a good winner. Will they gild it or not? Pretty valuable sort of colt. It would be a cruel, cruel cut. Ronnie Duffersey, good morning, buddy.
Yeah, good morning, TK. It was an interesting day's racing, and we've got an interesting day ahead as well, because from 12 o'clock today, I think there's 26 trials at Randwick, and there's some the cream of the crop going around there when you look at the fields there. And they've been put back, these trials, because of the funeral for Bob Rolls this morning, which I'm sorry I can't be at.
But, sure.
All the jockeys will be there, and then a long day for them. They'll saddle up at Randwick and continue on till probably 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, well, Bob, an absolute institution, Ronnie, isn't he, as far as the jockey's concerned, and the jockey room attendant there for, what, close enough to 5 decades?
Yeah, look, he's looked after thousands of jockeys during his time, and a thoroughly respected man in the industry.
Now, the Melbourne Cup winner Protectionist and also Lucia Valentina have both been trialled this morning at Newcastle at 8:30 and 8:42 respectively. Luke Marlowe has gone up to Newcastle to call them for us. We will replay those trials, Ronnie, which is great. And in between trials, we know the trainers are busy, but we'll try and get in contact with Chris Lees just to find out exactly how those two gallopers went.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, Protectionist was in a bit of a Neville Nobody sure. trial in the first. It was a 1,200-metre heat with, you know, five runners or something, and no real other names in it. But it'd be nice to just hear how his action was and how he went about his stuff. And the same with Lucia Valentina. Hers was only over 900 metres. But, look, she's a big name going into the autumn as well. So two high-profile horses in Chris Lees' stable for the autumn, and two important ones.
Dean Lester, good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Morning, Duff.
Good.
G'day, Dino.
How was your weekend?
Very good, thank you.
Does that mean you had a win?
No, I'm just trying to be positive, actually. I didn't have a win, no.
Well, you know what? They're on again today, mate.
Absolutely. I'm doing the form as we speak.
Now, you like your American sport. Are you into the Super Bowl?
I will be at 10:30, absolutely, yeah. And probably till about 3 o'clock. So.
Is that tomorrow or today? No.
That's right.
It should be over by 3 p.m. today. And, of course, the halftime entertainment there being Katy Perry, I'm sure plenty will be watching. We'll get to what happened down in Melbourne, some of the performance. The big thing that sticks with me, Dino, and we'll get into this, is the spread of trainers and maybe even the spread of jockeys that you have winning on a Saturday in Melbourne compared to what we have in Sydney.
Yeah, I think at the moment, other than the David Hayes's resurgence and Darren Weir's maintaining his excellence.
Correct.
As you said, there's a real spread though through the ranks and the riding ranks may look even, but I think it's evenly strong. So really good. It's really healthy in that regard.
We'll get everyone's thoughts. 13:53:53. That's the open line number on Punters Post Mortem. Smelling sweetly, as always, is Tanya White, who's going to give us the scratchings. Only a couple of meetings today, Tanya. G'day.
Just the two, TK. Thanks for that. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales is at Grafton, where the weather is overcast. The track is a soft 5. The rail is out 1 metre from the 800 to the 400 and true the remainder. The first race is at 103 and there are 21 scratchings. Race 1, take out 14, Zany Lass, number 14. Race 2, take out 1, Wanted for Murder, 8, Mostly Lucky, 9, Ice to the Rim, 10, Wigwam Bam, 16, Well Hello Dolly, and 17, Birthday Week. 1, 8, 9, 10, 16, and 17. Race 3, Take Out the Emergencies, 15, Go You Good Thing, 16, Gala Day, 17, Apache Brave, and 18, Galliano. 15, 16, 17, and 18. Race 4 is clear. Race 5, Take Out 8, Stylish Dragon, 10, Ruling Class, 15, Decompression, and 16, Killer Wasp. 8, 10, 15, and 16. Race 6, Take Out 4, Amazing Rosace, and 9, Mexican Mountain, 4 and 9 from Race 6. Race 7 is clear, and Race 8, Take Out 5, Tsar's Kingdom, 12, Prussian Miss, 16, Beg Pardon, and 18, Tsarina Georgina. 5, 12, 16, and 18. Just a couple of riding changes in race 2, number 18, Charlie's Lad, to be ridden by Priscilla Schmidt. Race 3, number 2, I Giggle, is Craig Franklin. In race 7, number 12, Reckons, is Jason Taylor. And race 8, number 15, 10 Reasons, to be ridden by Peter Graham. To Victoria, where the meeting is at Stawell. The weather is overcast, the track a good 3, the rail is out 3 metres from the winning post to the 1,000 and then 2 metres the remainder. The first race is at 120 and there are 7 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, Take Out 3, Point Leo, number 3 from race 2. Race 3 is clear. Race 4, Take Out 5, Ethicist, 6, Gold Rust and 7, Viva La Dance, 5, 6 and 7. Race 5, Take Out 2, Stature, 2 from Race 5. Races 6 and 7 are clear, and out of Race 8, Take 2, Ultimate Doom, and 7, Brown Bombshell, 2 and 7 from Race 8. And just the one riding change, that's in Race 7, number 10, Golden Perfume, to be ridden by Chelsea Hall.
Good on you. Thank you very much for that, Tanya. Great to be working with you again on Punters Postmortem. 1353 53 is that open line number. We're going to be taking your calls. Don't forget the text messages. What caught your eye? What didn't catch your eye? It's okay, Max. We're not on TV. It's Punters Postmortem. You don't have to sneak into the studio. Thank you very much for that. 0419 767 272. 0419 767 272. But if I look like you, I don't want to be on TV either. Capital Debt Solutions. Now, got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debts into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focus on debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions, solutions for your financial freedom. 1-300-107-155. 1-300-107-155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au. This is Punters Postmortem, taking your calls on 1353 53. We'll also take you up to Newcastle and let you hear the barrier trials of both Protectionist, the Melbourne Cup winner, and Lucia Valentina.
Here's the co-captains Kennedy and Slater leading out the Big Sports Breakfast team of experts. There's Middleton, Gallen, Parker, King, Fryer, Magne, Kent, Pascalides, Rogers, Fain, Gallegos, Webster. Well, there's plenty of experience and talent in that lineup. Real premiership material if ever I saw it.
Make the Big Sports Breakfast your team to follow. Playing every weekday morning from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. Thanks to Tab and the Mazda BT50 Ute.
Autumn racing is calling and all the fantastic Group 1 Thoroughbred action is just around the corner. TAB have now opened fixed odds markets for a range of big autumn racing features, including the TUI's new Golden Slipper and the Championships, featuring the Star Doncaster Mile, the BMW Australian Derby and the Longines Queen Elizabeth Stakes. So answer the call and have a crack today at your local TAB, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Codes of Practice, which have been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The codes relate to taste and decency, accuracy and fairness in news and current affairs and advertising. Copies of the codes are available from Commercial Radio Australia. If you feel a code of practice has been breached, your complaint should be made in writing and directed to the manager, Sky Sports Radio, GPO Box 4168, Sydney 2001.
This is Punter's Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Got those barrier trials coming up from Newcastle in a few moments' time. Let's get to the open line first. G'day, Wayne. Good morning to you.
How you going?
Good, thanks, Wayne.
I just wanted to speak about, I went to Orange Picnic Races.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago. Watched me, my young bloke ride. And what I found out was that the picnic jockeys don't receive any percentage of a prize of the prize money if they don't come first or second or third. So basically, they just get their riding fee, which I think is only $100.
Is there prize money for fourth and fifth?
There's prize money for first, second, and third.
Yeah, so there's no.
You'd think there's no incentive if they win, they don't receive anything. So.
Oh, you're saying they don't receive any percentage of the prize money if they come first, second, or third?
That's right. Yeah, right. They don't receive anything. So with these picnic races, they generate a lot of money to the towns.
Mm.
And, you know, they get a good crowd and they're great meetings to attend. But, you know, I think it's, well, my young bloke drives for about 5 hours to get there and a lot of the others do as well. And I find it amazing that they can't give them at least, you know, of the prize money, which would only be about $170 anyway, but to give them nothing, you know what I mean? Like, there's no incentive for them to win.
Yeah, I find that.
It's not long ago that they didn't get a riding fee at all.
Yeah,
it was an amateur thing.
I don't think anyone's getting rich out of picnic races, are they?
No. Yeah.
A good incentive there, you know, for country towns. People love them, but I'm just saying that if all they get's only $100 a ride. You know what I mean? They're at the same risk. And most of them have ridden in the city and they've only got weight problems. Mm. I just find it, like, even the guy, Billy Allen, that rode the winner of the Bon Bon Cup, he didn't even get anything for winning the Bon Bon Cup. He bought the video. I think he lost $50 for winning the Bon Bon Cup. You know, come on, we got a bit, you know, you got to look after him a bit better than that.
Yeah, well, you've had your say. And look, I feel for your son because I didn't know that he didn't get any. I thought it was just a registered meeting and it's the same rules all round. But I didn't realise that. But
it's something that Racing New South Wales can have a look at, I suppose, and see what they can do. Should be able to manage something for them.
Absolutely. Good on you, Wayne. There's no doubt they do put their lives on the line. And we don't doubt their bravery at all. Thank you very much for that, Wayne.
I remember the old days, the big country meetings and you know, the amateur meetings.
Yeah, sure.
That you ride a winner there, you know, there'd be a couple of thousand sling on the side. You know?
Of course, Ronnie, you would have been declaring that to the taxation officer. So it wouldn't have been a problem for you.
Further insight into your past career.
Yeah, the old Bajerabong picnics.
The good old days.
The good old days.
They've changed, haven't they? Hi, Bob. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Yes, Bob.
How you going?
Good, thank you.
I like to talk about Ty Angler's ride on Gay Waterhouse, the source countryman, the other day, last Saturday.
Yeah.
It was a disgraceful ride. That's all I can say. A disgraceful ride.
Not much went right there, Bob, did it?
I beg yours?
Not much went right in that race for him, did it?
He shouldn't have been in the position that he was in.
Well, I don't know whether that. He was in the 1-1.
He could see the other horses going around him, and he still parked himself in on the bloody fence.
Yeah.
I've rode horses all my life, and I'm from the old school, and I tell you what, it was a disgraceful ride. Anyway, before I close, I'd like to say, tell them bloody mugs who call off the bridle to stop calling. That's a ridiculous statement.
There you go. Thank you, Bob.
What do you reckon?
Off the bridle, off the bit, off the... Yeah, well, it's been around for a long time, Bob.
Bob's been campaigning for this for a while. I think he rang last year.
Okay.
All right. Geez, you've got a good memory, Dino. Thank you, Bob.
Oh, I checked myself because I actually said it a couple of times. Oh, Bob will be on to me. So I've gone with off the bit. I hope that's okay.
Yeah. He was well-placed, Ty, on Country Man, and then...
Well, then You'll
things
Never...
Things went awry.
Yeah, Blake Sheehan went around him on You'll Never and more or less shut the gap on him, and then he got shuffled back, and... he was going to be, well, you could probably say he was unlucky. So was Timeless Prince in that race. The same thing happened to him, but not much went right there, although I don't know whether he could have done much about it, to tell you the truth.
All right. I'll get your thoughts on the two-year-old races that we saw on the weekend, Ronnie and Dino. Firstly, the Canterbury Vancouver. Well, the barrier trial form was absolutely horrendous for Vancouver, but it doesn't matter what happens at the barrier trials. It's what happens on a Saturday, and now Gay has come out after that win in the Canterbury and said that Vancouver is the most exciting colt I've trained since Piero. Now, Gay may well believe that, but it sounds like a really good grab too for when Vancouver goes to stud.
Yeah, well, he's a beautifully bred colt, isn't he? And he's a Golden Slipper contender. You need all
this. Oh, he's a Golden Slipper favourite.
Yeah. Gay's a freak at this, when trialling these horses without their blinkers and then putting everyone into a false sense of security, because he did trial Common for a Breeders' Plate winner leading into this. But I'll give Gay one thing. She was very bullish about him all week, declaring him and you know.
Well, nobody listened because it was $3.20 out to $5.
Unlayable. It was one of the biggest betting pre-post, I know, with tab.com.au. They took a $50,000 or $45,000 bet on Mahawib on Saturday morning at 4:20. Right. They took $40,000 on Outreach earlier in the week. Someone had $10,000, $12,000 on Chamarel. It was an absolute skinner because people didn't know what to do with Vancouver looking at his trial.
Right.
But he was very good. He's a quality animal. I think he's more a champagne size sort, type of horse myself. He's a big... a big, strong horse. Who obviously, he'll run well in a slipper. He'll be running on, but he's just got mile written all over him, to my eye. But in saying that, I did say that about Piero at the same time as preparation.
There you go. Well, let's take a line through that one. I've got to say, Dino, something to take notice of too. I heard Tommy Berry, five lengths better come slipper time. Well,
yeah,
well, if he's five lengths better, he is going to be hard to beat, isn't he?
Yeah, I like him a lot, I've got to say. He was so strong on Saturday, and with more to come. And it was interesting, we had Tommy Berry on Melbourne Radio yesterday, and he said he was starting to listen to everyone and the doubters. To him, he thought the horse was going really well. But he was getting a little bit confused, but I don't think there was any confusion after Saturday.
I must say, Outreach, it's a shame with the...
Yeah,
the,
absolutely.
That was... He was going to be serious stuff. He was only his first start, and he was probably lumbered on, as it turned out, the worst part of the track. Yep. And his effort was courageous, but he's obviously fractured a pelvis, and he's out for a long time. But a marvellous talent. And I'd be very forgiving for Mawahib as well. What a lovely horse he is.
Yeah.
He was on the inside as well, and it was all too much for him. I want to have another look at him. I'm not putting the line through him at all.
All right. Well, that's the Canterbury. Let's go, if we can, down to the Whitton Stakes. And we saw Fireworks, a very, very gallant performance, this one to get up and win. But Gerald Ryan, not totally convinced about it being a slipper horse. And she would have to pay Connections would have to pay the $150,000 late entry fee to get into the slipper. Well, she can help pay for that with another win.
Yeah, she probably can pay her own way, and if she wins a lead-up. But, look, they didn't pay up with her early on, thinking that she mightn't be the Golden Slipper type, but she was backed off the map last time before this run, and she had the flashing light on, and then she got the job done there on Saturday. She did have a fitness edge on a testing track, but she's a nice filly. This is the horse I've got to follow, the second horse, this Lake Geneva. It's a star. It looked above herself in condition. Okay. She is all quality. I know it was a bunch finish and we could be getting carried away here, but I would love to see her go to Melbourne for the Blue Diamond, and she'd be my clear top pick.
I actually like both of them, Dino.
Both the fillies?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? They ran the better time, and she was very good fireworks. I love the way that when she got a bit of room, she seemed to be off the bit, but when she got clear air, she really knuckled down to what she had to do.
Yeah, she looked good, and so too did Lake Geneva. Anything else? The favourite was disappointing, though, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. Julietta.
Julietta.
She had a pretty easy run in front, do you think, Duff? Or?
Yeah, look, well, she seemed to... She did travel. That last time. She rolled and kept running. You know, we can be a little forgiving because it was there was plenty of grass on this track and it was a soft six.
Yes, so, yes.
You know, maybe that didn't help her, but look, she wasn't good enough on the day. Mm. It's not as if she was easy in the market. She was well fancied. She stayed hard at $2.80 all the way through. And other than, you know, not getting through the going, I can't make too many excuses for her. Graeme was she's really put on weight this preparation and certainly did a good job. She loomed up to win and just couldn't withstand the challenge there as well. Micucci was a much better run with the blinkers on. But she had race experience on the side. But I keep coming back to this Lake Geneva. She is a really good-looking filly who I'm keen to bet up on next time.
All right. Your slipper horse?
No, I'd love to see Blue Diamond take on the Blue Diamond, you know, a lead up into the Blue Diamond. Right. How long before we the Blue Diamond? How long have we got?
28th of Feb.
3 weeks, is it?
Okay, we've got plenty of time. So she can have a... No, I'd like to see her go to Melbourne, have a run, and then assess her.
Okay. David, good morning. Kept your eye on the two-year-olds over the weekend.
Yeah, I just want to quickly comment on Gabe Waterhouse. That comment about Vancouver.
Yeah.
Oh look, she's a phenomenal trainer.
Absolutely.
No respect, and and Tommy Smith, her father, was one of the greatest trainers ever. But both of them did often make comments about their horses and talk them up. And I remember Gabe did say when Piero first came along that it was the best horse that Tullock Lodge had trained since Tullock. Which automatically said he was better than Kingston Town and Gunsind.
Yeah, but it'll be...
She got it right on the weekend anyway.
But anyway, what I'm saying, they do talk the horses up.
Of course they do, yeah.
Sometimes they do talk them up, but sometimes, well, like, probably a different characteristics to, say, someone like Bart Cummings. She talks them up more than...
Yeah.
But just...
Don't worry. Every trainer that's got a two-year-old colt that can win in town, which is well-bred.
Is it?
Don't worry. And they're looking for a stud career. They talk them up. They all do it.
Hey, well, I just wonder, I think Holler's the best two-year-old I've seen this season, but I want Duff and Yaw. I think Holler's been the best. He ran phenomenal time. He beat the thing that won the Whitten Stakes quite easily. But I want to know, what do you think so far?
You know what? I reckon you're on the ball. I'm spooked by, you know, John O'Shea just rolling his eyes when he seems to think, you know, there's others better than Holler in the stable. But yeah. I loved his performance at his debut. I thought he rallied. He's a nice horse. He's bred to train on. He's look, I'm a Holler fan as well. I'm a huge Holler fan, so no knock from me.
Yeah, I just thought he won brilliantly. But I would say this, though, at this time of year, you know, where the track was sort of still a bit rain-affected on Saturday.
Mm.
I mean, I think we've got to bring on, in weeks to come in the Blue Diamond, we might have firmer tracks.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, which could...
There's no doubt about it.
What about the other guys? What do you think? Best two-year-old so far?
Oh, jeez.
I
don't like the odds of any of the top four in the market currently. Yeah, I think they're all very, very well found, so to speak.
Look, I say it's the two Godolphin for myself. I'm obviously Ottoman and Holler myself, but... There's plenty of water to go under the bridge yet. I think Lake Geneva's a real improver. I want to have another look at her. But
Dino?
Yeah, Ottoman I was impressed with. I think down here, I wouldn't sell Fondaton short. She was so underdone the other day.
Was she?
Yeah, she's got a lot of improvement in her. And I don't think everything had gone smoothly into that race. So I think don't be surprised if she improves a lot.
The other one I want to mention, I'm sorry to butt in, Dino, I forgot about another horse, and you'd probably like this horse as well. This Headwater looks another one I want to have a look at as well.
Yeah, he's a beauty. He was very good at that only win. They didn't pay up for him in the Blue Diamond, so everything's aimed at Sydney with him. So he'd be a significant player. He didn't beat a lot, but he did it really easily.
There you go. Thanks, David.
Thanks, man.
Keep an eye on the two-year-olds. It's an exciting time with the Blue Diamond. And the Golden Slipper looming large. Let's take you back to Newcastle if we can. Earlier on this morning, it was good to have Luke Marlow actually go up there to Newcastle for these important jump outs, the one featuring the Melbourne Cup winner, Protectionist. Here's Luke's call of the trial from Newcastle.
Protectionist came out toward the end of the field, and the first to go from the inside was Smoke and Snitzel. Raced out by 2.5 when they settled down. Summernax form up handy, and working forward on the outside was Mudderburra. Then Savvy U, Reunite, and Protectionist is last on the outside. So they continue their journey up toward the 900 metres mark, and Smoke and Snitzel is the leader by a half length on Mudderburra, who worked up to be a half length away on the outside. 1.5 away, third, Summernax Storm, being followed by Savvy U. Protectionist has gone to second last now on the outside of Reunite. Up before the turn, they've got 500 metres to go, and it's still Smoke and Snitzel the leader. Urged along in second spot was Mudderburra. Summernax Storm's come to the outside, and Protectionist, under a tight rein, he's starting to stride into the trial. They've got 250 to go, and Protectionist is racing up on the outside. He joins Summernax Storm, Smoke and Snitzel battling on over near the inside. But Protectionist, the cup winner, has gone to the lead inside the last 100. He's just urging him along, Bowman, to find the line here. He's a length in front of Summernax Storm, and now he goes quiet on Protectionist, eases him up close to home, and he wins the trial by a half on Summernax Storm. Up for third there was Savvy U, followed by Reunite. Further back in the run was Savvy U, and Smoke and Snitzel was pulled up quickly.
There you go. We're not against any budding champions there, Protectionist, but still it sounded like a pretty impressive gallop from Luke Marlowe's call. Last early, under a tight rein, cruised up and won by half a length. Let's go to the other star from the Chris Lees stable, and that is Lucia Valentina's trial this morning.
Lucia Valentina away midfield, and the first to begin was Selectify toward the centre of the track, and it'll go to the leader. From slots, Dylan Rox is punching up, and on the outside, Kissed by the Sun, and also improving was Paray. They were followed by Strife. Drifting back was Hera toward the inside, Whisperosa, Lucia Valentina, and Kissed by the Sun is now last. Coming up toward the turn, they've got 350 to go. And over toward the inside, Selectify, the leader, with Paray moving up, slots in behind them, Dylan Rox, Whisperosa, and Lucia Valentina being stoked up down the outside. 200 metres to go, still over on the inside. Selectify had the lead here from Paray, Whisperosa putting in a run. Lucia Valentina getting home. Inside the 100, Whisperosa's taken the lead, starts to get away from them, battling on toward the inside, Selectify, but Whisperosa wins the trial. Has beaten Selectify, Paray, Lucia Valentina close up out wide, making steady ground in the run to the post. Then came slots, Dylan Rox, Hera toward the end, followed home by Kissed by the Sun and Strike.
Well, autumn carnival plans in disarray now for Lucia Valentino after a fourth placing the trial. No. That won't be the headline. Let's get to the trainer of Lucia Valentina and also Protectionist. G'day, Chris Lees.
Morning, TK.
Yeah, you would have been pretty happy with both of them, I imagine, are you?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, you know, they're barrier trials and that's what they're for, but they both got a nice fitness get out.
Yep. Let's deal with the first one if we can, mate. The Melbourne Cup winner, Protectionist. Give us a report, spelled well, back like what you saw this morning.
Yeah, he didn't have long off.
No.
Kept him in light work the whole way through. He's probably 15 kilos heavier than what he raced in the Melbourne Cup. He was out the back in the trial. He made good ground from, say, the 600 to the 150, and here we give him an easy time from there. And he won the trial, but it was a nice enough trial. He had a really good blow after it.
Beautiful.
What did you have to report, Chris?
Yeah, he said he gave him a good feel, Ryan. As I said, he said he got up alongside the leader, and he probably idled a little bit, and he didn't put him under any pressure from there, and he just coasted the line.
Now that you've had hands-on time with Protectionist, Chris, what have you been most impressed by with him?
He's a nice horse, Dino, as you could imagine. But they all have that natural fitness. You know, he's very clean in the wind, although he did have a good blow today, so he's going to get a lot of benefit out of today. Now that he's settled in, he's doing very well in the stable, being a stallion. Good-natured horse. You know, he's pretty easy to train at this stage.
How many runs in the autumn do you going to give him?
I think three, possibly four, Ron, but I think three would be enough.
Can you give us the program?
We haven't really locked it in. Probably looking at something like probably Peter Young into the Australia Cup. And if he reacts well enough at the shorter course, we may then just go to the Queen Elizabeth, or we have the option instead to come back for the BMW. Doubt that he'd run in all four. But
geez, the $4 million sounds nice.
Quite attractive.
Not that comes into it.
Well, he's got to be able to perform at 2,000 metres. The reality is he's a genuine two-miler, so sometimes these horses, he may be only just getting warmed up.
So does that mean, I mean, he's been trained that European way quite obviously. Chris, can you put that sprint in his legs for 2,000 metres?
We had a pretty good sprint in his legs his last start. I don't have to change too much. Just now whether he can react at the shorter trips.
Yeah.
Well, I think he will. Kept a little bit on the fresh side, yeah.
Okay. What about the mare, Lucia Valentina? Everything ticking along okay?
Yeah, really good, Ron. She strengthened nicely off a month off. Yeah, I was a little concerned with her. We got to the bottom of her with a Melbourne Cup run, but she bounced out of it really well. She's about 20 kilos heavier than what she raced in the Melbourne Cup, and she's holding that condition. She comes to hand very easy. She wouldn't have done as much work as protectionist, but she didn't hardly have a blow after the trial, and she'll resume in the Apollo Saturday week.
Okay. You had that improver, One More Zeta, trial. Did she trial today, One More Zeta?
She was in Heat 3, Ron. She trialled really good.
Is she a sleeper?
She's a really nice filly. She's taken big improvement out of every run that she's had, and I think she's come back even better again. She could have led the trial. She sat 3 and 4 deep and coasted the line, won pretty comfortably, and beat Handy Mare called Thump. So she's on track.
All right.
And what we really rang you about, how did Fine Bubbles trial today?
Jockey would have got 6 months if it was a race.
Oh, what do we like to hear?
For a good autumn.
Okay,
beauty. All right. Mate, what about jockeys? I'm led to believe protectionist, no one's been locked in, and Lucia Valentina, no one's been locked in.
No one's been locked in. She came up to ride in the trial and both of the horses, and we'll discuss that over the next week or so.
Well, he must have barrier one.
Well, didn't hurt riding him today.
I mean that's the great thing about the good horses, Chris, isn't it? You got some options.
You certainly do, but you've got to remember
Ryan Moore?
The carnivals are on top of each other. So
yeah.
Is Ryan Moore's name still on the list?
It's been mentioned by the VRC to bring him out, but I'm a little bit reluctant to be locked into races, therefore them flying a jockey out for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, I doubt he'd be able to ride him in every race, so we'll see. I doubt it.
And Chris, is that the dilemma as far as a jockey's concerned? You want the same bloke on for the entire campaign?
Oh, I think it helps, but look, it's not a necessity. We'll just see.
No.
You know, jockeys get off. Train a second, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's just the preferred option, I guess, if they're riding well and winning.
Exactly.
Hey, Chris, thanks very much for your time, mate. I know it's been a busy morning. Always good to chat.
Pleasure, boys. Thank you.
See you, mate. Chris Lee's there giving you a nice report on protectionist and Lucia Valentina. Sounds exciting. Yeah, Ryan Moore. Yeah, would you? Well, 3 starts in the autumn, the Peter Young, the Australian Cup, the Queen Elizabeth, maybe. Which is worth that $4 million. They're all nice races. A nice horse as well, but 2,000 metres. Who do you think will get the ride, Ronnie?
I don't know. Obviously, you know, Hugh's there and he's Johnny on the spot, but does it clash with other commitments he's got? I don't know how this will unfold.
Will he give that commitment?
Yeah, well, will. That's exactly right. You know, he might have good rides in Sydney when, you know, his main guns for the autumn might clash a few times, and it's a very difficult time for a top jockey in Sydney when we've got carnivals clashing, and they've got to really, you know, think about what they've got to do.
Jeez, Dino, I can't get that Melbourne Cup victory out of my head. He just belted them around the ears. He just gapped them.
Yeah, and
that was over 3,200.
It was, but you know, I suspect he's got a fair bit of versatility this horse. So I don't think Ryan Moore had ridden him very often, had he? Going in, I don't think he'd ridden him much at all. So I don't think there's any great allegiance there.
No, exactly. All right, we'll take a short break, then take your feedback. And thanks to Chris Lees for giving of his time on Punter's Postmortem. But good news, always nice to have these star gallopers coming back, isn't it? Protectionist, Lucia Valentino. We saw some nice two-year-olds on the weekend from Gay Waterhouse in Vancouver. And also Gerald Ryan with Fireworks.
Terrific atmosphere here as co-captains TK and Slats lead out the big sports breakfast team of experts. By gee, there's plenty of strength and skill in that lineup.
Follow the big sports breakfast team weekday mornings from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. Thanks to Tab and the Mazda BT50 Ute.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debts into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Weekends start on Thursdays at Churchill Sports Bar in Kingsford. Happy hour schooners are just $4.50 between 5 and 6 every Thursday and Friday night, and Saturday arvos from 12 till 2. There's double-header poker every Friday night. Game 1, Rego from 8 with $1,000 guaranteed. Game 2, Rego 11 p.m. with free entry and $500 guaranteed. Churchill's members get even more, like free weekend cash draws. Join at the bar or on churchillsbar.com.au. See you this weekend at Churchill's at the Kingsford Roundabout.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Codes of Practice, which have been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The codes relate to taste and decency, accuracy and fairness in news and current affairs and advertising. Copies of the codes are available from Commercial Radio Australia. If you feel a code of practice has been breached, your complaint should be made in writing and directed to the manager, Sky Sports Radio, GP PO Box 4168, Sydney 2001.
Tabs Saddle Up Sundays. Visit some of our most exciting regional destinations.
Orange's turn to saddle up is on Sunday, February 15. Racing Orange's Family Fun Day will be a fantastic day out for everyone. Free entertainment includes jumping castles, pony rides, face painting, plus fashions on the field and more. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing World have the mounting yard covered at Orange, Sunday, February 15.
For more on Tab Saddle Up Sundays, visit gocountryracing.com.au.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Dino, I hear you talking about Ryan Moore maybe riding protectionist, maybe, just maybe, and the thoughts there that Chris Lee's told us that the VRC pretty keen to bring him out to ride down under. Well, RaceNet report leading English jockeys William Buick and James Doyle will ride for Godolphin at the Sydney Autumn Carnival.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
Sheikh Mohammed's bloodstock advisor John Ferguson told Sporting Life he has had positive conversations with Godolphin trainers in Australia as well as America. When we signed the likes of William and James, we did so in the belief that they are both international and world-class riders. We have a very strong team of horses in Australia as well as in America, and when you have world-class jockeys, it makes sense to use them. Mm. So, quite clearly, John O'Shea went public late last week saying that James McDonald was not contracted to Godolphin. They're not going to use contracted jockeys, or not going to have a contracted jockey in this country. Quite clearly, in Europe, William Buick and James Doyle are contracted to Godolphin. And there you've got John Ferguson saying their contracted jockeys will be used in America and also down under.
Be interesting, because John O'Shea has been to Dubai last week.
That's right.
And obviously there's been meetings there, and there's a chance they could have, you know, who knows, 4 or 5 runners in a Golden Slipper. Do we see these fellas out here riding these horses along, you know, with your McDonald? And obviously they've denied a contractual agreement with McDonald, and I think we all should believe them. But is there a gentleman's agreement in place there that he can...
Looks to be, doesn't it?
Yeah. And
I mean, John... Well,
and why wouldn't there be?
He didn't discover James, but he was as big a rap...
Yeah.
For James from a young age as anyone I know.
Yeah, for sure. And he's riding, obviously. He's one of the kings of Sydney already.
Hmm. Anyway, that's just something that caught my eye. William Buick and James Doyle. They might need a few riders if they're going to get about 5 or 6 into the slipper.
That's right.
Still, there's plenty of Sydney or stroke Melbourne jockeys. A double for Michael Walker at Flemington on the weekend, Dino. 3 lady jockeys all had victories, which was good to see. Anything catch your eye that was overly impressive?
I think the start of the program was the key, TK. Whale winning the first. She's unbeaten in 4 runs, and just got the wanders a bit down the straight. Don't think she really switched on at all. She had a fair bit on that field, and lucky Liberty that won the second. He's unbeaten in three runs now, and he made quite a long run at them and did a good job. He's trying to head towards a race like the Australian Guineas, and he's going well. I think they were probably the two most impressive runs of the day. Later in the day, Magnus Rain winning the second last, but the second horse there, Tycoon Tara, she's just come through the grades very quickly. She should have won. She just got left in front too early and wandered about a bit down the straight also, but I think she's a very good mare in the making, Tycoon Tara.
Now, Choose is a tough little galloper. You'd like to have it in the backyard.
Just knuckles down for the fight, doesn't she? Gets up on the pace and then just keeps going and on the line pulling away. So I don't think even 1600, if they want to lengthen her out, will phase her.
The Friedman horses are racing so well at the moment. Shewin was always going to win that race.
Yeah, she's probably been a source of frustration to them because I think there's been a really big opinion of her for some time, but she's always got it a bit wrong in her races. But the last three runs, she's really started to get it together, and she looked just outstanding in the mounting yard on Saturday. She was the clear pick and ran right to it. And I think they had a 40% strike rate through January with their runners to winners. So
good stuff.
Pretty impressive.
Oh, I've got to say, I mean, we used to see those famous colours flash across the line all the time, didn't we, Dino and Ronnie? It was good to. I'm sure it wore the Friedman colours in Shewin, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And see those colours back, and it was a pretty impressive win.
Yeah, it was. It was a slowly run race and a real sprint home, and she out-sprinted them well. And, first go at 2,000 for the prep. No reason she won't win another mare's race in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I saw Lee just saying, really, he's just sort of getting a handle on, while Anthony's doing the job there in the stable now, Lee's there just getting a handle on getting to know all these horses, and you think that can only help.
Yeah, I think having a chat with him before the race, he said he's just really stepped her work up because she's now mature,
right?
You know, rising 5-year-old, and he said she'd really responded, because it showed in the mounting yard she was a very fit mare.
And just on that again, mate, you don't see Damien Oliver $71 for Rivers Lane. Where'd it come from? A lot of well-backed horses ran okay, but like didn't get the chocolates on the weekend.
It was a funny day Saturday. It was a very strong head
rail was off.
Well, I think it was just the wind again, a bit like Derby Day.
Well, everyone drifted off.
Yeah, no one goes there. I don't know if they're trying to get cover from the wind. I don't know what it is. But anyway, it was a pretty strange day. And the last three races, just no one wanted to lead. And they were very, very slowly run. And that was the Rivers Lane race. All the favourites were out the back and had no chance. And it was the on-paces Rivers Lane and turn it around. And Rivers Lane came over from Adelaide and... at 8 years of age, finally won a race at Flemington.
$71. Let's get back to the open line, 13-53-53. Hi, Bruce.
Hello, Terry. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
This is probably more aimed at you. I always listen to the show, and it's about a dog race. I saw last Saturday week. This dog had blinkers on. Have you ever seen a dog race with blinkers?
When I trained a couple of them. We used them 30 years ago, but they drifted off.
Listen to your father, Frank, calling them out. I used to go watch Zoom Top and Sammy Sparrow back in those days. And I was sitting in the local club, and on the table was Mike Gibson. And I said to him, have you ever seen a dog race where a dog having blinkers? He said, nope.
Yeah, well, geez, I don't know whether I can recall it. And
why would you use them? Probably, were they fighters?
It could be.
There's plenty of...
Just focus them in a bit like the horses.
And, of course, Mike started his career doing the dogs at Wennie Park.
And this was over in New Zealand because they let them catch the bunny or whatever it is. Yeah. But they said, I'll tell you, they're quite large too for a dog.
Well, one of our listeners will help, Bruce.
All right.
Okay, so if it's becoming more common or it's... Last time they saw them?
Yeah, as I say, in the mid-80s it was quite common, Olympic Park and Sandown down here, that you'd see two or three dogs a meeting have them on, but then they just stopped using
them.
Just
drifted off. All right. Thank you, Bruce, for that. Let's keep taking calls down the board if we can. Hello, Mick. Good morning.
Good day, Terry. How are you, mate?
Well, thanks, Mick.
Hello, Duff and Dean. I backed Air on Saturday. Anyway, we know what happened. As a two-year-old and a future point of view, what was he like? I don't remember, do you?
Air?
Yeah, from the Hawks team.
Look, it's the first time I've laid eyes on him the other day, very disappointing. Didn't do a thing, really, did it?
No, he was third to the turn, I think it was, but he dropped off.
Yeah, he did. You know, he's he won the maiden obviously at Canterbury last year, and resumed there after a nice trial, or she did, I should say. And look, you'd have to say disappointing. So jury's out on her for sure.
So from a future, he's more than ready. He can get up to 1600, can't he?
Well, they can, but I find it pretty hard to follow without having another look at her after Saturday's performance there, Mick.
You don't blame the track, or?
Well, you can. You can always pull an excuse out for a wet track for a bad run, and I'm sure they'll use that until they get a better guide on her next time. But it wasn't really a performance that you'd expected. She was pretty easy in the market. She was out to $17 at one stage there,
yeah,
from
back
from
into
12. So not
thanks,
much.
Gary, can I do a Kurt and ask Dean a question?
Sure, mate. Go for your life, Mick.
Dean, I think it was 10 days ago at the Valley. Artie Shaw, he's better than that, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He won on Thursday at Warrnambool. He proved that.
Oh, no, I didn't hear it. Oh, all right.
He backed up on the Thursday one. Paid all right, too.
I don't know what happened at the Valley, but he didn't run on. Do you remember?
No, he didn't. He raced a bit flat there, but he was on the back up, and he was fine. So back at his home track last Thursday.
Yeah, I don't know what happened at Flemington on Saturday, but Committed didn't do anything either. Is he under...
Committed's had a lot of problems. He had he looked like a derby colt as a young horse, and he fractured a front leg, a stress fracture in a front leg, and I think he's had a lot of problems. I'd be steering clear of him until he shows something.
All right, thank you very much. Good on you, Terry.
Good on you. Thank you very much, Mick. Very courteous, wasn't he? 13:53:53. Gentlemen, Robbie Griffiths, 2-year-old, Deja Blue, won her trial without being touched at Cranbourne. I think this could be a serious horse. My horse ran third to it. Did Dino see the trial? Brent.
I did. I thought Deja Blue trialled very well, as Brent alluded to. And his horse that ran third would be Ocean Embers, and Ocean Embers went really well. So the first three there cleared out by a big margin in that trial. So time was okay. And I think Deja Blue's going to the William Inglis Premier on Saturday at Sandown.
Right, okay.
Which is a $250,000 sales-based race.
So pretty serious racehorse.
Oh, I think a really precocious horse anyway. Yep. Just jumped and ran and had a lot up its sleeve, looked to go really well.
And both Dino and Duff, Andrew Bensley has texted that Reg Cadeau, three-time winner of a Melbourne, a three-time runner-up in a Melbourne Cup, is coming to the Australian Cup and the Sydney Carnival is now likely. So there you go. That's all good news.
Yeah, positive. It's the more the merrier. It's going to be a big party.
Well, it's just a headline horse.
My word, yes.
A fan favourite, a punter favourite, three-time runner-up in a Melbourne Cup. It'll get plenty of headlines. And just a horse, Dino, that some of them just thrive in a particular environment, and we see Reg Cadeau particularly thriving down under.
Well, he's earned nearly $6 million
incredible
in placings here, just running second in Melbourne Cup. So, he's a crowd favourite. It'll be interesting to see him at 2,000. He's run second in a World Cup at 2,000. So there's no reason that he wouldn't run well. But, really looking forward to seeing him down here for another crack at the Carnival. Different time of year for him. It's good to see him down here on his annual world tour.
I like this one. The last dog... The last dog I saw wearing blinkers was Ernest, who we used to call not so Ernest, but then it came out and won a few.
He jumped the fence there on Saturday and was a late scratcher. You'd think he'd know better.
Is a specific choice wear blinkers?
Maybe. You're exactly right. At this stage, there is no outstanding two-year-old boys. There is only about two lengths between 20. That's Joe from Bar Beach. Good on you, Joe. Plenty of water yet. Keep your powder dry. As far as the Golden Slipper is concerned, at this stage, it's 4:50. Short break and hopefully a call and some text messages.
Sky Sports Radio has all your summer harness and greyhound racing covered. Sunday mornings from 10:30, we bring you reactions from trainers and drivers on all the latest winners. Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Weekends start on Thursdays at Churchill Sports Bar in Kingsford. Happy Hour Schooners are just $4.50 between 5 and 6 every Thursday and Friday night, and Saturday arvos from 12 till 2. There's doubleheader poker every Friday night. Game 1, Rego from 8 with $1,000 guaranteed. Game 2, Rego 11 p.m. with free entry and $500 guaranteed. Churchill's members get even more, like free weekend cash draws. Join at the bar or on churchillsbar.com.au. See you this week at Churchill's at the Kingsford Roundabout.
This is Punter's Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53. SMS 0419 767 272. Or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Let's get to our final caller of Punter's Postmortem. G'day, John.
How are you?
Never better.
Mate, I'd like to talk. I've been racing and trotting since I was born 70-odd years ago.
Right.
What they've done at Warwick Farm and what they're doing at Randwick is absolutely disgraceful. Now, to sell that land at Warwick Farm out the back there where horses could relax, exercise and work is an absolute disgrace. It's detrimental to racing. All the great horses, the Vicky Thompson, Peter Snowden, John Horse, Guy Walter, Joe Pye, all trained down there. Swam their horses, trained down there. They talk about training at Ascot and Chantilly and everywhere else. They had the exact same thing there and destroy it. The people that are running racing couldn't run a chook raffle, if that's the case. And you can't even exercise a horse at Randwick of an afternoon. You're not allowed to do it. Like, I go back when we had champions doing that. And you could work them up the steeplechase, you could work around, but not allowed to do it now. What are you going to do? Have horses coped up like chickens in a chook pen? Like, the racing administrators want to wake up to themselves. That thing at Warwick Farm was the greatest asset anyone could have. All they're doing is destroying trainers. They're absolute dopes. Fair dinkum, dopes. There's Canterbury. We're racing on the training track at Randwick. They call it the Kensington track. No one would have ever seen Kensington race, course I did. No one would have ever seen Victoria Park. I did. Rosebery and Moorfield. Ascot. They were training, they were racing tracks and training. Victoria Park was the greatest racing track in Australia, bigger than Randwick. And you could train there. The trotters and gallopers used to train together on a 9 furlong training track in the middle there.
John?
Where we had exercise and proper facilities for horses to relax, take them out of their environment, walk them around the trees like they do over in Chantilly, train them after hours when the track shuts, take it all away.
John, it's a good spray. Racing administrators would be listening to you. We've just run out of time at the top of the hour, unfortunately. Ronnie, what's your one to follow?
Oh, it's got to be that filly of Team Hawks, Lake Geneva.
Yeah. Okay, Lake Geneva for you. I like Bagman to follow.
So do I.
Dino,
so
what do you I. like?
Yes. I wonder if he could run well in an Australian Cup, that horse.
He could. He's going really well.
Dino,
well
what do you like?
Abdullah. Tycoon Tara was okay. The best run at Flemington. She didn't win on Saturday, but, I think she's a good mare in the making.
Good on you. Thank you, Dino.
Thank you, TK.
Thanks, Duff, as always, and great news. Thanks to Chris Lees for joining us. Protectionist and Lucia Valentina all coming through their trials in spectacular fashion this morning. It's 10 o'clock.